Welcome to Social Proof by Verbatim. I'm very excited for this one because Simi is an old friend of mine. We've both worked with Our Future in the past as an agency. We've become friends. So I'm very excited to have you on. Thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here.
All right, let's jump right into things. So the goal of this podcast is I want to keep it really short, really tactical, specifically for B2B SaaS companies. We can talk short form content. We can talk long form content. You've done a ton of different types of content, but I want to start with a quick 1 minute background of Our Future. When did you start it? Why did you start it? And then walk me through the acquisition process.
Yeah, so Our Future actually started out of a passion project. My co-founder, Michael, started it back in 2020 during COVID. Both of us were doing podcasts. He was interviewing C-suite executives as like a young 19, 20-year-old in college. I had a daily news podcast, and we were just jamming all the time. It was like, hey, let's go build the next Morning Brew of podcasting. And we had the right idea. We just had the wrong medium because podcasts have great affinity. They're just super hard to grow, as I'm sure, you know. And we were like, let's take this and go to a medium that already has so much traffic. No one was doing business or business content on TikTok at the time. So we saw an opportunity and we took it. So we added these B-roll animations, started going super viral. We were doing well over 100 million views a month across YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Then an opportunity fell in our lap where my first million was looking for a editor or whoever could make them go super viral. And they had a contest. We won the contest. And that was kind of the origin story for our agency. We create business content, short form content, and then we help big companies do it too.
I love it. Post acquisition, what were some of the key insights that you learned from the Morning Brew team about how they approach content creation, how they think about short form? What are some of their earned secrets that you saw what they were doing and you're like, whoa, this is a different level?
One thing is knowing what your goal is. I think the way Morning Brew typically thinks about it is, how do we build affinity with our franchises? And that was something that Michael and I didn't really think too much about. We were just the young, starry-eyed kids who just wanted to build a big business media company. And we got so caught up in views. It was like, man, we're crushing it. We have so much reach. No one is doing what we're doing. But no one also cares. It was one of those things where people weren't necessarily coming to go see Michael or myself. They were just scrolling their feeds. They see some interesting content. They stop, they watch, and then they continue scrolling. How do you create something that people are actively searching you out? It is something where it almost becomes habitual. Maybe a good comp for this is All In, if you're in the VC world, or the BG2 podcast with Brad Kirshner and Bill Gurley. If you care about investing at all, you are probably going to go listen to those podcasts. When we had started our media company, that wasn't necessarily the feeling we were creating. Now being a part of Morning Brew, they are very intentional about all of this. You have Money with Katie, you have Dan Toomey, you have Macy, you have all these other creators, and it is, how do we get people to go care about this content, care about the people creating the content, and then find these extension opportunities to continue growing and scaling their brands?
I love it. I want to pivot a bit and make this as actionable as possible for startup founders, head of marketing, head of content. It could be a seed stage company. It could be Series A, Series B, Series C, or enterprise. For example, let's say I'm the CEO of a Series B company. I just raised money and I'm talking to my go-to-market or marketing. I'm saying, hey, I'm seeing all the short-form content perform really well. We're B2B, we have big contract sizes. I think this may be worth a test. What is step number 1, 2, and 3 if you want to test out whether short-form content may actually be a useful acquisition channel for you?
What is your goal with this, right? Are you just aiming for brand awareness? Is this an inbound leads play? Recognize short-form is most heavily an effective tool when used as top of funnel. That is something that you need to keep in mind. The second thing that you need to pay attention to is, what channel are you optimizing for? I've worked with B2B companies who are more omni-channel. They want to grow on TikTok. They want to grow on IG. They want to grow on LinkedIn, but they have the budgets to be able to do so. And what I would actually advise is, pick one or two platforms and get really, really good there before you go dive into every single short form video channel that exists. So I think if you're looking at it as an experiment, pick one or two and then put all of your eggs in that basket. If I'm a B2B company, I'd probably advise you to go actually focus on video on LinkedIn. I think that that's kind of a low-hanging fruit because no one is really nailing video on LinkedIn as of now. I think people are starting to pay attention to this. You're also hearing things about the TikTok ban and stuff. So it's a good time to be creating video, but know what game you're playing. Take it a step further. Just doing what someone else is doing does not make you different. I would argue that the best place to play is somewhere between education and entertainment, because the end of the day, if you're a software or you're in a competitive space, maybe tons of other competitors coming in raising money, people are going to buy from people that they like or have a personality with. So you want to play that interesting hybrid role where it's like, yes, you are informing your target customer in your market about why you're the best solution, but you can have a little bit of edge and a little bit of flair. No one's going to hate you if you make them laugh a little bit.
I love it. Okay, so I'm that B2B founder and I'm sitting down with my marketing team. I said, hey, I just talked to my friend Simi and I agree with him. I think we want to start with LinkedIn short form video. I think you should probably be some form of a podcast or something like that to get the long form asset itself.
Exactly.
And then we're going to prioritize this channel and we're going to time bound it. So we're A/B testing. Let's give it 30, 60, 90 days and track metric. So if I want to move forward on that plan, what are the next steps from there? Is it figuring out the topic of an interview series? Is it very clearly time boxing? If we are time boxing, what should that period be?
I would say before you even commit to how you're going to repurpose the content, whether it be a podcast, a webinar, or whatever, you need to figure out your distribution strategy. Because the worst thing is you create great content and no one ever pays attention to it or no one sees it. So first think about how can you amplify this? Are there influencers you can work with in that space or in that niche? So if you're a Series B company in this context, you probably have 50 to 75 employees. So how can you get them all to engage with it? How can you get them to share the content and do so in a way that is pretty consistent? It's not exactly B2B, but Workweek was doing this thing where everybody had these yellow profile pictures, right? So I thought that was kind of a great brand play because you knew everybody who was attached to Workweek. Choose the highest leverage medium. How can you create that brand identity? A podcast can be a great thing. I think YouTube videos are a great place to start. Anywhere where you can take one piece of content and create 10 more pieces of content from it. So you repurpose your video into short form clips. Maybe it's a compilation clip. Maybe if you're doing content with thought leaders in the space, make sure you share that content with them so they can share it on their behalf and you can kind of leverage their borrowed authority.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple of action items I'm taking is one, make sure that everyone on my internal team is aware that, hey, we're doing this. We're going to start pushing clips on LinkedIn and we're doing this because of why. Connecting that why to them so they understand it's actually important for them to like, comment, engage with it, not just a directive. That's step number one. Number two might be if we want to do some interview focus series, bringing on major influencer partners, agencies in the space that our ICP knows or pays attention to or has heard of before, so they're relevant. And then three, in terms of boosting distribution, if there are other folks that, let's say a few SaaS integration partners that we're really close with, or folks that we share deal flow with a lot, maybe they're also testing out short form, even if it's just a couple of them, figuring out who they are, getting us in a group chat and saying, hey, when this goes live, we're all trying to do the same thing here. We're not competitive. Let's make sure we're amplifying each other's things. Do those action items sound correct?
I think, yeah, it sounds great. I mean, you'd be surprised. A company will have well over 500 employees and their brand page or their brand post gets 5 likes. I'm like, how is that possible? You got 500 people on payroll who are actively employed to support the company. At the very least, you should get internal buy-in. And yeah, I think finding ways to be able to leverage those relationships is super important externally too. But what you'll also notice is that, let's say you and I were jamming about Adam Robinson before this, and he has crushed it, right? I've talked to many B2B founders who have said, we want to create content like Adam. What is it that makes him so unique? He's just very honest and transparent about how he builds his business. So it's not necessarily like you have to be super insightful or you have to be super novel with the content that you're putting out. You'd be surprised at how engaging and how much traction you can get just by putting out what you're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. Maybe wins you're getting as a company. Maybe it's new hires that you're bringing on and why you're so excited or mistakes you've made. People love that vulnerable stuff. There's so many of these little tools that you can rely on without saying, hey, we have to be able to essentially recreate the wheel.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm curious, when it comes to topic selection, I've heard a bunch of different views here. One is just pull back the curtain, tell people what you're experiencing. The other is completely different angle. Find the biggest thought leadership in the space and then interview them about specific customer pain points, potential solutions, and playbooks. And then another one completely out of the blue is just talk about your personal life. You want to be authentic. You want to be relatable. Start sharing those stories. And so is the actual answer, hey, this is a mode of experimentation. Try all of them. Try interviewing some people. Try doing your own stuff. Try pulling back the curtain. What do you recommend in terms of once you've decided on distribution, you've decided on the initial format, and you've decided on your channels? In terms of the actual topic selection, should I start in one of those buckets and then see what works? Or should I just pull everything in at once, test a bunch of stuff, throw it against the wall for 30 days, and then let that kind of be the guide of what works.
It kind of depends on what your overall content strategy is, because if you're founder-led sales and the founder is the one creating most of the content, then it becomes a temperament question. Do they feel comfortable talking about their own mistakes, or do they feel comfortable being very open and transparent about their day-to-day stuff? So I think that's a limiting factor, or it can be, and that may kind of hone in your number of options that you have available to you. But let's assume that you're neutral across the board. You're okay with sharing some personal stuff, but you don't want to go crazy with it. Let's assume you're okay with sharing some company-related information, but you don't want to go crazy and build in public. Well, then I think, again, going back to that play between educational and entertaining is where you want to be, right? I think you can be informative without giving up all the secrets, you know, and it can be one of those things where it's like, here's how I think through these things. Hey, I know that I'm trying to land XYZ customer. Here are approaches that have worked for us. Curious what someone else has done. I think you can kind of bait in people to engage, right? For a while, that used to be the big thing. You used to end a LinkedIn post with some kind of question to generate comments and stuff. And I think that's what you can do if you don't want to be super personal, is talk about something informal and then invite others to share their opinion, or create something that is just very, very shareable. Maybe you create a graphic or a carousel with some kind of tip. Here are my 5 tips when creating X. Or let's say I had a cybersecurity company of some kind and I'm trying to sell to, you know, enterprise companies. It could be like, here are 5 statistics or 5 data points that enterprise companies need to be aware about, so they can get it sharing within their groups or across their companies and all that stuff.
So say I want to move forward on this. I say, Sammy, you sold me. I want to do a 90-day sprint. I think short form video could be useful. I know my topic. I know my distribution. My team's bought into boosting it. What are the next steps from there? And specifically, who should be owning those? Because I might say, hey, we're a 50-person team, but I'm slant. I'm not going to be writing the social posts. I'm not going to be editing the stuff. I'm not going to be coordinating it. But I am down to actually record the video or interview someone. Should I hack this together in-house? Should I go work with a full service agency? Should I do part of it and then go work with someone like Our Future, who can actually do the short form clips and the posting? What are the next steps, and who is the best person to own this, at least as a pilot?
So I think the two questions are like, what is your budget and how much time do you want to invest in this? If you're not in a place where you can spend $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month on an agency, I would say avoid it completely, because the worst thing that happens is this is a pretty material amount of money for your company. You put in an experiment, things don't go work out as planned. Maybe there was misalignment on what you wanted, or maybe the agency's ability to go execute on it, and you were really banking on them to pull a rabbit out of their hat. You're going to be pretty upset when it's all said and done. I would say go hack it together with overseas contractors. I would also recommend people stay away from these creative staffing agencies of sorts. You can go find somebody on Upwork to at least get you going. Commit to some kind of content schedule. It could be like, hey, we're going to put out 3 posts a week, and we're going to have 1 focused on top of funnel, 1 middle of funnel, 1 bottom of funnel. You do that for a few weeks, you'll have a good idea what is working, what you feel comfortable with, what is not working. And then you take a more capital intensive or strategy where you can escalate it out. And then maybe you consider either hiring someone full time to work on this, or alternatively outsourcing it to an agency partner that is highly recommended from your peers. That's a great way to do it, is like find people that you would use as inspo and go see who they are working with, because you know that they have at least met some level of quality, or you're at least going to be somewhat happy. They already know what to do. But I would say if you're not so sure what your goal is and what your strategy is going to be, don't outsource that just yet. You need to do the hard work internally to figure that out.
And then once you've seen the ROI, then say, okay, I'm going to go allocate 6 months and work with best in class partner, because I've already proven out that this could work.
Exactly. And I think also if you're working with an agency partner, be very clear, which is, hey, for this partnership to make sense, we need to make it into a math equation. It's like, here's the ROI we need to get for this to be successful. So I think that way there's no misalignment that happens. Forget 6 months. If they can't get that in month 1 or month 2, it'll be like, okay, we're clearly not a good fit for each other, or things aren't working out as they should. I'm a big believer that you can do lean experiments, and then really what you want to do is add gas to the fire. Depending on how big the team is, let's say you're early stage, I would say one of the co-founders should be involved in this process, especially if you're doing founder-led sales or they are talent. But what you also notice is when a founder is the one creating the content, they may say they don't want to be involved, but they definitely really care, because it's their face and it's their words coming out of their mouth that are being shared publicly. And so naturally it kind of creates an incentive. But then over time, I would say, like, yeah, you want to outsource it to your chief of staff or your marketing manager or someone else who can take on that extra bandwidth.
That makes sense. And in terms of knowing what works, obviously, best case scenario, the investment in short form video, whether you're doing it in-house just with a time allocation or you're with an agency, whatever you're allocating, like perfect world, people are perfectly coming into your CRM and on your website, entering their email, booking a demo, and they put source attribution as short form video. Like that's a perfect case scenario attribution. That rarely happens. And so then you go a level lower and there's directional metrics, like are my impressions increasing on LinkedIn? My engagement going up? Is my following growing up? Is my company page following growing up? Those are directional, but those aren't necessarily leads. And again, in a perfect world, people are coming through with perfect attribution, but that rarely happens. I'm saying this because I feel this firsthand from working with a lot of teams at Verbatim. I'm sure you felt the same way.
Yeah.
And so for everything in the middle, which is probably 80% of it, I feel this firsthand when people book time on my calendar and first thing I ask is, where'd you hear about us? And they're like, just been following your LinkedIn for like 6 months. And that's post-purchase attribution, which is great. A lot of teams don't even have that set up. And so when you're first talking to a team and they're considering investing in this, they're like, what does success look like? And they say, well, I want more customers. How do you respond to that? And what do you say when it comes to just larger contract sizes that require multiple touch points? And you have to be honest about like, hey, short form video may not be the single touch point that converts them to a contract, but it may be the first five. And then you're going to have to do the other five, which may be sales, BD, growth, partnerships, you name it.
Yeah. So the good thing is at the enterprise level, if they're looking to utilize short form video in some way, they understand that it's a long-term play for them. There's kind of a long tail effect there. They're not necessarily looking for results month one to lead to a bunch of inbound customers or inbound leads. An enterprise customer would typically know, hey, it's going to take 3 to 6 months and we're really looking to invest here. I think it's at the early stage level where there's a misalignment there where they're like, we need results immediately. And this isn't driving customers, but it's like, hey, this is kind of a brand building exercise that is inherently top of funnel. If you're looking for bottom of funnel results, right, where you're driving a lot of inbound leads or whatever that may look like, try a different style of content or change the content that you're actually sharing on the short form clip. Don't focus on virality. Just focus it on really informative, educational content that would make your target customer want to work with you. And don't focus on likes, don't focus on vanity metrics, because that's not the game you're playing.
So last question for you. For founders or marketing teams considering investing in short form video content, what are the one or two most common mistakes or things that people mess up consistently? Could be the creation of content, the measurement of content.
What I've noticed is that the ideation and the topic selection has never been a challenge, but you would be really surprised on how challenging it is to get people to actually be charismatic in front of the camera. And that, crazy enough, is the single-handedly most important thing to making sure a clip goes viral or performs really well. If you're going to spend the time to invest all this money, you're actually scripting out this concept, make sure you believe it when you're actually filming the content, because a lot of people just sound super stiff and it's almost like, man, they don't even believe what they're talking about. Clearly, they're reading off something. So rehearse it several times. I think it is one of those things where you just got to get reps in. And another thing that we used to do our future when we were trying to get better at filming is we would have some other person on the call or in that filming session with us who could guide us. So it'd be like, hey, refilm this, but this time focus on smiling. Hey, repeat that, but do it with a little bit more energy. I think you will be very surprised on how effective that can be. And it's such low hanging fruit.
I love it. I think it was either Sam Parr or Sean Puri from My First Million that were talking about charisma, especially on video charisma. And I'm pretty sure they have an episode about how it can be taught and it's a very teachable skill. And if you invest a few hours just starting on YouTube or ChatGPT or Perplexity or something and start a search, you can get better in a day or multiple days. Just build an outline and then get the reps in, exactly what you said.
Totally. And I mean, bigger podcasts, they have massive budgets. And so they have producers who are on the show with them, right? So when you hear someone, a big name podcaster doing their show, it's not like they're perfect the entire time, right? They have to redo stuff. They have to stop what they're saying and refilm or rephrase things. And that's why even at the professional level, they're getting guidance and they're being coached through that. So don't feel bad about it if you can't nail it on the first two or three times. It's one of those things where you just have to do it over and over and over. Another quick tip is that if you're scripting out content, you do not need to get it all right on the first time. So do it sentence by sentence. And if you mess up, just repeat the sentence. You don't need to redo the entire script. And, you know, it sounds like one of those things that is super obvious, but you'd be surprised how it becomes a mental thing and it stops people from being able to just do what they need to do.
I love it, man. That's a good place to stop. Where can people find you?
They can find me on IG at @I'm.Simi or on Twitter at _Simi_. Anything Our Future related, go check us out at Our Future HQ.
Oh yeah. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Dude, thank you for having me. This was a blast.